We are on page Kuf Ayin Hey. Kuf Ayin Ches. Kuf Ayin Ches. Kuf Ayin Ches. Kuf Ayin Ches. Halacha Kuf Tzadi Aleph. Towards the bottom. Towards the bottom. Here we have a Shini Hashem. We're all familiar with a person who wants to change their mazel. Or a Chmana Litzlan, a person that's not well. They add a name. How do they add a name, by the way, everybody? So how do you add a name? Is there a ceremony? So there is a ceremony, but generally the way people do a Shinui Hashem is they say Tehillim Berabim, and then at the end of the Tehillim, they make a Mishaberach, and they say the Mishaberach very slowly, and when they refer to him by his new name. Okay, so the person's not well, and they want to add a name. Let's say his name is Let's say his name is Avraham, and they want to add the name Chaim. He's not well. They want to add the name Chaim. You only do that. You know, you have to have really know what you're doing to do that. You don't just stop and add a name. Not so simple. It's not a simple matter at all to add a name. But if a name ever is given, so if I'm not mistaken, what they do is they say Tehillim, Berabim. And when then the end, they say Mishaberach, Avosein, the Avrams of Yaakov, v'chulu, who Yivarech Yirapi Yasachoyle, Avraham Chayim, then so and so. So when they publicly make it known when they say to Hillim that he has now a new name, and Mikanu Lahaba, that's what they refer to him as. And
you also change it then. You don't have.
So let's say a person wants to change them. It used to be that people would go to Rav Chaim Kanievsky, and he would ask them what your name is, and they would say names, and he would say, change your name. Shira, any girl that went, I don't know if girls go to him anymore, but they would say Shira, so he would say, Shira is not a name. There's no such name as Shira. Change your name. So how do you change your name? So I don't know exactly what they do to change. I guess similarly from Mikanu Laba, when someone asks you what your name is, you tell them your new name. They select a name.
I have a niece like that.
She changed her name?
Her name was Shira for 21, 22 years.
Yeah.
She was having a baby, and he said she can't keep that name, and now her name is Sarah.
And she only goes by the name Sarah.
Yes.
Okay, it's shocking.
It's actually using Eliza, which is a middle name.
Okay, so it's very shocking. It is very shocking.
What's
shocking? That he tells people to change their name. And people listen to him.
Don't we say Mishana?
I have been told by reliable sources that he stopped it. I have been told by reliable sources that he does not. I don't know.
He did this 2 years ago.
I don't know. So I heard recently that he has stopped this.
You have to change it. You have to change everything.
I don't know. I really don't know. I don't know anything about this. To me, it's a surprise like it is to you. It's a very big surprise. I would imagine that it's very frustrating for your children, for the parents, when parents select a name, and all of a sudden, 20 years later, all of a sudden, your child says, I'm changing the name. I don't know. I'm not, chas v'shalom, challenging the Gadol Hadar. My brother once said to me, it's not 100%. My brother said to me, he gave me musr, he said, listen, you have a problem? Keep it to yourself. He's the Urim V'Tumim. He's the Urim V'Tumim. Don't just, you have a problem? Just keep your mouth shut. So I took it very seriously. I don't understand, whatever. This is what, but I've been told recently by a reliable source that he has stopped. He has a change. Seemingly, he has a change of heart in regard to this matter, and he does not tell people anymore to change their name. Okay, is that true? That's what I've been told. I don't know. Any event, we are normally hearing about changing names for Rachmana Litzlan, a sick person, or I don't know, for some reason a person's name is not satisfactory for whatever reason, they change the name. Now we're going to learn a whole new reason, a whole new thing never heard before, at least I never heard before, is that you change the name of a Rasha to reflect that he's a Rasha. Okay, this you've never heard before. Yehudi, Sheheimer, look, I guess the case in point is Yeshu HaNotzri. He's probably the most, his name is Yeshua.
The word Yeshu really means a combination of Yemach Shemai V'Zichri. There was no name Yeshu.
His name was Yeshua. Yeshua. That was his real name. Not Yehoshua. There was a name, Yeshua. It was a very popular name at that time. Yeshua. I saw this written up. Not Yehoshua, Yeshua. And that was his name. It would appear, I think the idea of Yemach Shemo V'Zichro was appended later on. That became Hashkocha Pradas, how did it work out? Or maybe Lechatchila, but they didn't just come up with Yemach Shemo V'Zichro by out of nowhere.
In the story, when they had the Yuxim above,
they write it out. Yemach Shemo V'Zichro.
No, but they have the two little things.
Which means Yemach Shemo V'Zichro. Yeah, yeah. But it could very well be, why did they select this acronym to be his name, Yemach Shemo V'Zichro? It's because it's almost identical. They just take out one letter. It's identical to Yeshua. His real name was Yeshua. And by taking out the ayin, by taking it, more confused. The name is with an ayin, Yeshua, Yud Shin Vov Ayin. Yeshua, Yud Shin Vov Ayin. Four letters. So why do we call him Yeshu? What happened to the ayin? Why don't we call him Yeshua by his name? The answer is the ayin has been deleted deliberately. Why? To fulfill, it's in fulfillment of what the Sefer Chasidim says, Arasha Yomechanin Shmoy Lignai. Happened to work out that the three letters, Yud, Shin, Vav, Arasha Tevos, Yimach, Shemo, Vizichro. So it's very convenient that his change of name from Yeshua to Yeshu turned into the acronym of Yemach Shemo V'Zichro, and that probably was done by design.
Even Trinity, so there are three letters.
There are three letters. Okay, but his real name, go look it up in the books, was Yeshua. How did it get from Yeshua to Yesha? That's what we're going to learn right now. Yehudi Sheheimir, who left Yadus, Mechanin Loi Shem. You don't call him by his original name. Shenemar, Kimoyhem, Yihiyu Oiseihem. The idols will be just like the worshippers. Now the Gemara makes a drasha. The drasha over here is Kimoyhem, just like them, Yesh Yilchanois Loi. Now the parish of the Sardi explains is that the idols, we find all over idols, we call idols by derogatory names. We call idols by, we make up Elilim, instead of Eloka, God. Okay, we change the name of an idol into a derogatory term. Okay, I have to go give examples. So it says here, the truth is that only is an extension of what we do to the worshippers. What came first, the chicken or the egg? We live in a backwards world. Originally, they would change the name of the. They change the name of the person as an extension of changing the name of the worshipper from a good name to a bad name. They would also change the name of the idol, what they would call it, what they would give it a term that was something that was positive. We make fun of it and we call it something negative. Chazal say, Kol leitzenusa asira libar mileitzenusa diavoidas kochavim. In this world, it is categorically forbidden to mock, to belittle anything in this world. No matter how insignificant you think it is, in Hashem's eyes, it's very significant. The only thing you're allowed to mock and make litzanis of is idol worship. Idols and idol worship. That will basically put out of business any comedian. Modern day comedian who the style is just to make fun of people. Okay, you're not allowed to make fun of anything or anyone or any item in this world except for Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah, they would start by changing the name of the worshipper to a bad name. And now the pasuk says Kimohem, just like the worshipper, Kimohem Yihiyu Oisehem Kimoyhem, go all the way around. I made a mistake. Kimoyhem, yihiyu oisehem. The one like them will be the ones who make them. So I guess the makers are going to be the worshippers. The worshippers, we're going to change their name. So too, we're going to change the name of the eye, like I said originally. Kimohem yesh lechanois loy. Like them, we shall change the name. Let's a little bit more. Kigoin im shemoy Avraham. A fellow, his name was Avraham, and he leaves Yadus, yikra Ephraim. Okay, why? Because it's very easy. You just drop off the hay. The hay is anyway a silent letter. And the bays and the pay are interchangeable. Very common, interchangeable. The bays and the pay. Barzel in Aramaic is parzela, with a pay. In the Sefer Torah, there's an invisible bays inside of a pay. Okay, the bays and the pay, for some reason, are interchangeable letters. So from Avraham, we go to Ephraim. The bays turns into a pay, and the hay is dropped out, and we now have Ephraim as a piece of dirt. Piece of garbage, piece of dirt. His name was Avraham. He now becomes Ephraim. Their dust. V'chein kayotze bozeb. V'afilu tzadik letzadik. V'heim toyim acharav. If there's a tzadik, could go into Shimon. Now here he refers to Shimon Kippa. According to the Sefer Hasidim, he is the founder. He is the first pope. The Pope, one of the main founders of Christianity. Now this is the story. This is the whole story. Rabbi Schneer Liner has a lot of fascinating stuff on which the whole world has become fascinated with. Shimon Kippa, Sha'omrim, they call him Petach Hamar. He's called a donkey, the firstborn of a donkey. Now Shimon Kippa is not a pashut person. Shimon Kippa, I think some call Kippa as Peter. Is that correct?
Saint Peter.
Okay, Shimon Kippa by them is known as Saint Peter. Shimon Kippa, according to some, what I'm saying is the Baba Maisa, was a very holy Tana, was the one who composed Nishmas. Every Shabbos you say Nishmas, you know who composed it? The first Pope. We don't make Jews like we used to anymore.
Is he the one who went into Terubah?
Yes, he went into hiding. So the story is, and that's not what the Sefer Hasidim doesn't make any reference to this. Doesn't make any, and Adarabi says that people mocked him. He was mocked by being called the Petach Hamor. They called him a donkey. They called him a donkey because Petach Hamor is phonetically similar to Shimon Kippa.
Why? His name is Simon Peter.
Right. Kippa is Peter. Petach Hamor, they appended the word donkey. Petach Hamor.
What the similarity between Kippa and Kippa?
Kippa, Peter. Kippa, Kippa and Peter are phonetically similar. Peter and Kippa. They have the same letters. So they call him Petach Hamor. Now, Shimon Kippa over here is obviously despised. We're calling him by a very derogatory term. We're calling Saint Peter a donkey. We refer to him as a Petach Hamor. Was he really that bad? So some want to argue that he wasn't so bad. Adarabba, there was a very, very great sakon to Klal Yisrael. The early Christians were almost identical to Jews. You cannot differentiate. Min is possible. How do you know? How do you know the Sefer Torah looks exactly the same? You cannot differentiate. And they were observant. They were mekayim tariyah mitzvahs. They were fully observant. They kept Shabbos. But in their minds were contaminated with this ideology of that Mashiach already came. I don't even know exactly what the ideology was, but their minds were damaged. They were fully observant. It was almost impossible to differentiate a person who was a believer in the early form of Christianity verse a full Shomer Torah mitzvah, almost impossible to make the differentiation, but if you were an expert, you can figure out the difference, who's the real deal and who is a phony. And the Tanoim who lived in this generation, a Zehu Chochom Horoye Es Hanoilat, they were able to see in their insight that if Klal Yisrael continues down this path the way we have today and have these two groups of Jews who mingle amongst each other, And many of them have been damaged. Their minds have been contaminated with false belief that cannot be removed. If we continue and allow this situation, Klal Yisrael will come to an end. They will prevail, this group, and ultimately they will no longer be a Klal Yisrael. It'll be all over. That's what they were able to see in the situation that they were living in. And they made a decision among themselves that this group must be separated. And the only way to separate them is to go undercover. Is to take one of the holy Tanoim, and he should endear himself to these people, and being that, and have their trust, and slowly and carefully guide them, separate them from the mainstream of Klal Yisrael.
Paul, not Peter.
Was Paul?
Paul.
The books that Saint are written Paul. In that are Paul.
Not of Peter. So right. That makes, no. Then the whole thing is not relevant.
Peter was
no good to begin with. It was a worm to begin with.
That's why you have Paul,
Paul was about 150, no. 200 years
he
later.
Who? Who was later? Paul?
That's
when the split was. Okay, I don't know. So maybe what I'm saying is not correct with regard to Shimon Peter. I don't know then. But one of the people, a lot of this also was shrouded in mystery. A lot of this is also, there are a lot of questions that remain hanging because the history has been hidden, has been corrupted, we don't know exact details, but this is what some of this research has shown, is that there was a tufa by the time of the Tanoim, where the Christians were really no different than the Jews. They were fully observant in Shabbos and Shmir Samitzvahs, but they were damaged. And if the situation remained the way it was, it would be a very great sakana for Klal Yisrael. A decision was made that a Tana had to go undercover and slowly pull them away and channel them away from the mainstream Judaism. So that's what he did. That was the first thing. He said, why should we observe Shabbos? We should observe Sunday. It was all ways to differentiate them from us. Their Sabbath shall be on a Sunday, not on a Shabbos, not on Saturday. And then he slowly was able to convince them not to do Bris Milah. Very important.
Was John the Baptist.
That was later, even later?
Yeah, that's why.
Okay, maybe later.
John the Baptist. He told them initially that they have to have a Bris Milah, and they said, what? And so they let it go.
Taryag mitzvahs also, why do you have to observe all the mitzvahs? You don't have to observe all the mitzvahs. And he was successful, but at great sacrifice. The only way to weed out these people and to separate them from the mainstream in order to preserve the integrity of Klal Yisrael, he would have to go undercover. He would have to make believe he's one of their leaders. And by doing so, he would no one would ever know him. No one would ever... He was a Tana, holy Tana. And he basically sacrificed himself for Klal Yisrael by basically making believe, yeah?
I have a question.
Well, they did. They did. They felt it was necessary that this someone should remain. Whatever the consequences were, fine, so be it. There had to remain a nucleus of pure Torah Jews to preserve Klal Yisrael, no matter what the price was. Because the way it was going, there wouldn't be anything left. And this, whoever this Tana was, He sacrificed himself. He was a holy Tana. He's the one, Chazal tells us that he was the one who composed Nishmas, and they said that he himself never was Mechal Shabbos. He never did anything. He basically locked himself up in a room, and he came out to speak to the people occasionally, and no one even really knew what he did in private. In private, he was fully observant. No one saw him. No one saw him and he was able to privately to be a religious Jew. And who says that was even necessary to save Klal Yisrael? Maybe he could have done whatever he needed to do in order to save Klal Yisrael, but he did succeed in separating them from us in recognition of what he did. Rabbi Schneer Lyman argues very forcefully with many, many proofs. That is the reason why it says in Shulchan Aruch that on the ninth day of Teves, Klal Yisrael observes a fast day. It used to be, back in the day, there are three consecutive days when we would fast. Only until the night, of course. You don't fast for 72 consecutive hours. The eighth day of Teves, the ninth day of Teves, and the tenth day of Teves. Asar B'Teves, we all know. That's when the siege began of Yerushalayim. The ninth, eighth day is when the Torah was translated into Greek in the time of the Yevanim, time of Hanukkah. the Torah was translated into Greek. That was considered to be a very great defilement of the Torah. Choshech came down to the world for 3 days. And then it says in Shulchan Aruch, on the 9th day of Teves, we fast, and the Shulchan Aruch writes, we do not know why. The Mechaber, the Beis Yosef, he writes, I don't know, this is tradition. Tradition is to fast on the 9th day, and we do not know why. Now, if you're a Jew, you can only imagine when someone tells you they don't know why, you'll now have only 100 reasons why. So the Mishnah Brura quotes the Knesset HaGedolah, we fast because it's the yard side of Ezra HaSofer. And in fact, on the Selichos of Asara B'Teves, it explicitly says that Ezra HaSofer died on the 9th day of Teves. Okay, that is the simple answer which the Mishnah Brura, the tenth is besieged. The eighth is Chosh, is the Sefer Torah was translated. The ninth is the Petira of Ezra HaSofer. That is what it says in the Mishnah Brura in the name of the Knesset HaGedolah, and that's what it says in the Slichos. Rabbi Shneur Lyman, in his research, has shown that the ninth day is an observance for the yard site of this Tana who successfully separated the Jews who ultimately became the Christians, became the founders of modern-day Christianity. Christianity started out very, very different than the way it is today. And Tana deliberately weeded them out at great sacrifice to himself, where he would never be remembered as being a Jew, as being a Shemitah or Mitzvahs, and commemoration for what he has done to preserve Kalal Yisrael on the 9th day of Teves, we fast in his honor. We fast. It's a day of mourning that a person lost his life. He gave up whatever he gave up. He gave up his legacy that he's remembered only as a Christian, as a founder of Christianity, in order to truly preserve the integrity of Kalal Yisrael. And this could not be written in Shulchan Aruch, because if this was written in Shulchan Aruch, the whole Shulchan Aruch would have been burnt by the censors. So it had to be written in this very unique, unique way. This so is I mistakenly thought when I prepared that that's referring to Shimon Kippah, but you tell me I'm mistaken. It was someone who was Paul, not Shimon Kippah. I'm not familiar with the whole history of Christianity. I guess not. So he was another very influential person, which I don't know the history, whatever it is. We have to bring in some experts of the Shimon Kippah. And he was called by Chazal, he was called a Peter Chamor. Why? He was a Jew. Okay? He's not a guy. A guy, you don't change his name. We don't care. A guy is a guy. You don't have to call him Lignai. A Jew who becomes an apostate, you have to change. So therefore, Shimon Kippah was a Jew who became a Christian. So him we call a Peter Chamor.
56 years ago, the missionary of Christian, they printing the Chumash and bringing on Friday in the market of the Jews to sell them. And they banned not to buy from them.
Okay.
Because we had a lot of problem for printing.
One more short halacha. Kuf Tzadi Beis. Lama loy niskalu batayra shemois hamalachim. Very, very fascinating insight from the Sefer Hasidim. Why in the Torah do the names of the Malachim do not appear? You do not find in Chamishei Chumshei Torah any name of a Malach, even though they're all over the place. By Yishmael and Hagar. Hagar says, alludes by Avram Avinu, when after the Bris Milah, three Malachim and Noshim, Light, when they came to save Light, they were Malachim. It makes believe. You read the Pesukim, literally it appears there were three real people. And by Hagar, when she was banished with Yishmael, the Malachim, and she even says words, I was zoicha to see a Malach here in the desert the same way I saw Malachim when I was with Avram Avinu. All over Chumash, Chamisha Chumshei Torah, Kohen v'Kohena, you find a mention of an angel. Yet, the name is never given. In fact, Lomazet Tishal Lishmi. Who Peli?
Rosh Hashanah is the name of this
Nowhere do we find the name of a malach ever given in Chamishu Chumshu Torah, maybe in the whole Tanakh. Tanakh also? I'm not so sure.
What?
Okay, but in Chumash, the name is not there. Lama loy niskalu, at least in Chamishu Chumshu Torah. Lama loy niskalu ba Torah Shemois HaMalachim. The answer is, he tells us, Pen Yasum Elohus. Because we Jews have a bad track record. We may make that malach into a god. We'll make, who knows, we'll make a shrine for him. We'll go start davening by his keder, whatever we'll do. Yeah. We'll make it in, who knows what a Jew will do if we only had the license to do something. So therefore, Pen Yasum Elohus, Sharei Yoim Echad B'Shana Oisim Yoim Eid L'Shem Michael. For example, there's a day where they make an aid is a holiday, Lashem Michael, the angel Michael, Umechapin Olav Divrei Sheker, and they say about the Malach Michael lies. Ula Asa Love is going to quote a pasuk over here, a fascinating thing. Okay, who does it? The Jews or Goyim? I'm not even sure who does this, because it sounds like Jews. There are some Jews who are not religious who dedicate a day in the year to worship the Malach Michael. I'm not familiar with this. Okay, you have to study this. What? Is there a holiday in the year? Anyone familiar?
They have. Well, that's why they established All Saints Day. That's the end.
All right, whatever it is. The Sefer Chassidim is telling us, 800 years ago, it was known to him that there's a day in the year when people dedicate that day as a holiday, and Eid means a holiday. Eid is a holiday. Really, it means a tragedy. It's a euphemism. Chazal, when they describe non-Jewish holidays, they use the term aid, which means a tragedy. It's a tragedy that the people make such a mistake to worship an idol, but the people who worship an idol on one day of the year, and they worshipped Michael. And now the Sefer Chassidim says that La'osalavo, that on the Yom HaDin HaGodol, the Malach Michael will be judged and punished because his name, he was used as an instrument for idol worship. Let's read over here. Ula'asalavai, let me finish. Mekatreg aleihem. Then Shemayim aleihem over here means in plural, all of the angels that were worshipped. How do you know that? It says in the Pasuk, Bo'esaihi at that time, Yamod Michael Sarchem. Now, in this pasuk, now this is a very, very fascinating thing which we have to spend more time on, because I think this is how we learn halacha from this. A whole amazing thing. The word chazak. Okay, the word chazak is missing in this pasuk. It's an amazing thing. It's really he elaborates upon this in the next piece. We don't have to worry. We're going to see in the next piece. Let's just read over here the parish on the side, and we'll stop, and we'll continue with this tomorrow. Look on the parish on the side. Kuf tzadi gimel, lomelo niskalo b'terish mos rotzo loymar, shelo yitu habriyos achareihen, v'yasum elohus elokus megin to gods, avol ato, shelo niskar shemam b'terish moshe, af al pish shen niskar shemam b'ksuvim, even though their names are mentioned in ksuvim, lo yitu habriyos achareihen, sheyem habriyos teidu sheinim elohus. I'll prove to you they're not gods, Sharei lo niskar shemam b'toyros Moshe. Now here's the point that was relevant for what we just read. The hamalachim gam reitzim b'zeh. A new insight why the malach said to Yaakov, lo mezeh tishal l'shmi v'upeli. I'm not telling you my name. If I tell you my name, it's going to go down in the chumash. They're listening. Moshe Rabbeinu, he's writing, he's recording over here. If I tell you my name, they're going to worship me. And if they're going to worship me, you know what's going to happen to me? In Shemayim, they're going to punish me. Because I was an instrument of idol worship. New insight into why he didn't want to reveal his name. Vupeli, none of your business. Okay, he eluded Yaakov Avinu. We learn Parsha Pshat is, what difference does it make? Mind your own business. Or my name keeps on changing. I get a new mission every single day. Well, do you accept this mission? 10 seconds, I'll self-destruct. Can you get a new mission, a new name for every mission? Right? No. He was really hiding because I can't tell you my name because Moshe Rabbeinu, he's listening. He's going to write it down in the Chumash. And then I'm done. I'm toast. in Shemayim and the Yom Hadin HaGadol, they're going to punish me. V'hamalochim gam roitzim b'zeh, kidei shlo yitu habriyo yisachareihem, sharei kishem shenifroim in ha'ovdim. Just like they punish the worshippers, they punish the object of worship. Min ha'ovdim kachen nifroim min ha'nevodim. They punish the object of worship, they're going to punish me. And that's why it says, Bayoyim ahu bo esahi, that's the pasuk includes in the pasuk, quoting pasuk Nach somewhere, Yamoid Michael Sarchem, Michael the Sar, your master, meaning the Malach, the Malach of Klal Yisrael, is going to stand in judgment. He's going to be punished. Why will he be punished? Because he was an object of worship by Jews, or even non-Jews, who are not supposed to worship him. So he also has to be punished. And therefore, it's enough that their names were written in Kesuvim, but you can imagine how much worse it would have been had their names be written in Chamisha Chumshei Torah. Even Michal did not escape the punishment, but at least it was lessened to a degree because his name did not appear in Chamisha Chumshei Torah. Mirsham, tomorrow we're going to go with the entire pasuk. It's going to show that the letters Chazak are very significant letters in the Malach's name not being present. And after we learn that, it's going to completely change our understanding of why we say when we finish a Chumash, Chazak, Chazak, v'nis Chazek. After we read tomorrow's a Perush you never heard before.
Michael, it should not be the name of the people.
No, Michael is the name of the Malach.
Some people
take a short break. I have a great topic.
Some people, the name afterwards. Michael is not good. Huh?
The name Michael is a good name.
Good name? So Michael is a
Malach.
Every say, Moshe Shabbat say, Mimimenu
Michael. Michael is a good name.
Moshe Shabbat said, Mimimenu Michael. Mismirenu Gabriel, Baruchenu Shechinat El.
Tomorrow, Mimini Mem is Mem, Mismoli Gimel, Ulufnai Aleph, Omeachorai Reish. Those letters spell Gimora. Adaf Gimora, Alam Alochim. You know that? You know that?
No.
You know that? The four Malochim is Gimora. Mimini Michoel Mem, Mem, Gimora. Smolly Gavriel Gimel Gimma Umilufanai Oriel Aleph Gimorov the Aleph Meachoirai is Raphael. The four Malachim spell.
Here the reference was Pesach. He's Masechet Pesachim in the Shimon Kufa. But here the reference is Pesach in the parentheses. Here I say, you see? Here. What does it mean? Is not Pesachim? Masechet Pesachim?
Yeah, Gemara Pesachim.
Pesachim?
Shema Pesach. I don't know the Gemara. Shema Pesach Gemara. I don't know the 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 Gemara.
Mentioned
on Sefer Daniel.
Didn't the angel
Michal
identify Sefer Daniel, the one who spoke to Daniel?
Gomer? He's all over the place. Michal is all over the place. I'm finished. It's all over the place. Michal, wherever you turn, is Michal.
So if the results are good the second time, the first time.
Is the mind of fire or water?
You'll be a whole new person.
I don't know.
Oh, they talked about fire a lot.
Very nice.
They do talk about fire a lot. But like, Carl versus Gabriel.
Water. By Daniel, Hashem sent the Malach of fire into the fire.
The punisher, the enforcer.
Michal is all over
the defender, the other the prosecutor.
He's all over the place. Okay, Rabbi, so let's begin. I have a great topic today. The topic today is...